quickly before I say that, I want to say that if Tottenham ever did what Fulham did in that first half, I'd be embarrassed to associate myself with Tottenham. It was embarrassing. I'm trying to put that out there. But on the Tottenham, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to FPL Apprentices episode 7. We are back. Tuchel has been sacked. Potter's on his way to Chelsea. But in more important news, I have made my return as host to the podcast. Don't worry, listeners. You don't have to listen to Chris host anymore and all his nonsense he has to talk. But before we say hello to Chris, I think we firstly have to thank Robbie for stepping in. Did a great job as co-host. And yeah, I'm sure you'll hear his voice again in the near future. But Chris, would you like to say hello? How does it feel being back as co-host?
Well, first of all, Tom, thank you for your charming introduction. I really appreciate it. But most importantly, thank you to all of you guys for joining us and listen to season 3, episode 7. Tom, how are you feeling after your absence last week?
Yeah, I'm good. It was very hard sitting behind the scenes, actually, not being involved in the pod, having to listen to it. I missed it. I can't lie, but I'm glad to be back. It was a good episode, but we're ready to be back. We're back.
Yeah, and we'll see whether I prefer Robbie or you as a co-host after this episode.
Yeah, I've already got applications coming in, Chris, for the co-host. So be careful of what you say.
All right. Well, in today's episode, we're going to be reviewing the results from game week 6 before going into a preview of game week 7, and probably a main focus of today's episode is going to be on wild card. We're coming to around the time where a lot of people are looking at wild card, and so me and Tom are going to discuss those wild card strategies in depth after we review the game week 6 fixtures. Tom, where would you like to start?
I think we should start with our teams first, Chris. I'd like to firstly do my team some justice. Last week, I was listening back to the pod and Chris said I was 4 million and something. At that time, I was 3 mil on the dot. I'm currently at 3.7 mil. So I've dropped down a bit, but I'm sure the listeners were concerned when they looked at my team and realised Chris had made that error. But yeah, another poor week for me. I mean, it was a poor week all round for everyone. I had two returnees, Kane captain and Trippier. And the rest of the team blank. So, yeah, that sort of sums up my game week. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, I got 44 points. Pretty average week, really. Had a great hour. I'm still sitting at 5.2 mil. But I'm really hoping with a wild card in very, very, which will be coming very soon, will turn my fortunes around this season. But yeah, 44 points for me. 49 points for the joint team. We're up to 1.8 million after 200k green arrow this week. Trippier in for Perisic was a nice little transfer from us. So we're pretty content with where we're sitting, Tom.
Yeah, and I do just have a question for you, because obviously I think I've missed two game weeks, because obviously we didn't pod after game week 4 and then I missed game week 5. But I think you took Haaland out before his two hat tricks, Chris. Is that right?
Yeah, you've been waiting for this, haven't you? Yeah. So for the listeners that probably haven't heard, I transferred in Harry Kane for Erling Haaland before Kane played Nottingham Forest. Haaland then went on to get two hat-tricks and a 9-pointer. Kane didn't do too badly himself, but I did get punished big time, and it's a large reason why I haven't been able to progress up the rankings in the last few weeks. But I still feel like some of my transfers have been unfortunate besides the Erling Haaland to Kane switch. But look, I'm sitting at 5.2 mil. I'm looking forward to the challenge ahead. I think I can go on a very strong run from now until the World Cup and hopefully get down into the top 1.5, 1 mil by the time game week 17 rocks around, Tom.
Yeah, and he sold Salah for KDB before Salah's 10-pointer. So these premiums have not been going well for Chris, and I'm sure he'll have an excuse later on in the pod, like usual. But yeah, Chris, I'm sure There'll be time for you to improve. You can't stay at 5 mil all season. So the only way is up from now, I'd hope.
Yeah, and in contrast to my team, Tom, the only way is down for yours at the moment. You're really sliding down the rankings.
I'm in a good position. I'm happy where I am. My team's set up nicely for a game week 9 wild card, which we'll talk about later. But no, I'm very confident. I'm happy where I am. Good position.
All right, so should we turn our attention to game week 6, Tom? Everton versus Liverpool started us off at 12:30. Now, me and Tom made the trip up to White Hart Lane to watch Spurs versus Fulham on Saturday afternoon, and we were in the pub watching the Everton Liverpool game, in which was, well, I think Everton certainly deserved the point in this one, Tom.
They deserved the 3 points in this one, getting a bit robbed with an interesting offside decision. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't the prettiest of games. I think Nunes came back in. He looked pretty useless in my opinion. Just wasn't with it. It was an interesting decision to drop Firmino, obviously, personally. I wouldn't have done that, but Klopp clearly knows best. But yeah, Salah playing very wide and very deep. I think look, we've had 6 game weeks now to assess the teams, and Liverpool were definitely playing a different style of football. Obviously, they've lost Mane. They're trying to play with a proper, real target man, and look, it's clearly not working defensively, midfield wise, and attacking wise. So I think we'll definitely talk about Liverpool more, but I think there'll be a lot of people moving off Liverpool. In terms of Everton, I do think that maybe I have done Liverpool a bit of injustice in this game because Pickford did have a great game, and in a different game, Liverpool probably would have put a few past him. But you know, credit to Pickford, he's obviously now picked up an injury, which we'll see where that leaves Everton. But yeah, I've been as a Liverpool Salah and Trent owner, I've been very disappointed with them so far, and they had another shocker of a result yesterday, losing 4-1 in Napoli. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Klopp maybe shaped up the team a bit. Well, he doesn't have loads of options to because of injuries, but I could see a few players maybe being dropped. But yeah, there's something not right at Liverpool at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's definitely something that's not quite working smoothly. I think we'll get on to Liverpool assets when we come to a wild card discussion because that is a large factor in our wild card decisions. I did mention on last week's pod with Robbie that Everton defensively haven't been too bad in recent weeks. Had 3-1 all draws before the Liverpool game, end up getting a clean sheet in this one. But I think a large part of that does come down to Pickford, made a few great saves. Diaz hit the post as well. Now, they did concede quite a few chances. Now, Pickford's injured until the 1st of October, which is game week 9. So they're going to miss the next couple of games, which is a big concern, especially for the Arsenal away game coming up this weekend. Pickford this season has made this number of saves each game, 5, 1, 4, 4, 4, 8. So Pickford has to make a lot of saves. And I think he's been very solid this year. So to see him injured for the Arsenal game is extremely concerning, in my opinion. I think Everton could really struggle on the weekend against Arsenal. But I mean, FPL wise, Tom, Everton's fixtures aren't great. Won't be touching them, even with this slightly better defence we've seen in the last few weeks. And Liverpool wise, we're going to get onto them later because there is a lot to discuss.
I think you summed up the game the well, summed up Everton there well. I think, yeah, I'd be very concerned for them in this Arsenal Everton game now because Pickford is arguably their best player. So yeah, it's concerning times, but it is Arsenal, and you never know what can happen. They do love cocking things up.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about that. I'm quite confident with Arsenal this week, but I think we should move on to Brentford versus Leeds, the first 3 o'clock game on Saturday. And two main talking points for me in this one. And one side note that I want to touch upon. I'll start with the side note. Number one is Brentford defensively. Now, I think quite a few people had the idea of a Brentford defender, especially Raya, the goalkeeper, in their teams, but no clean sheets at all this season, apart from the 4-0 win against United. I don't think they're as defensively solid as we might have initially thought at the start of the season. So I wouldn't be going there now, even with some half-decent fixtures. But two main talking points, FPL-wise, Tony and Sinisterra. Now, I'll get on to Sinisterra before I go to Tony. This man, he seems to have come into the team from, I I think he was from Feyenoord, made the transfer, got a few substitute appearances game week 2 to 4, and then started against Everton, got a goal in game week 6 within 65 minutes, and then scored again away at Brentford on the weekend. And it was a very nicely taken goal from the edge of the box on the half volley. So Mahrez looks to be full of confidence, and coming up to a Nottingham Forest at home game, which I'd say is the best fixture going into game week 7. He's a very nice little differential, and I do like the look of him. The only concern for me is the minutes. I'm not sure with, I think Somerville is coming on to replace him in the second half. I'm not sure how reliable we'd be for minutes, but Forest, United, Villa, Palace, Arsenal in the next five. There's certainly returns for Leeds in the home games, especially. I mentioned it a few weeks ago on the pod. Leeds at home this season is going to be a difficult place to go. I think this guy Sinisterra is certainly a nice little option at 6.5 mil. If you're looking at a 1 week pump for a wild card, I think he's a very astute transfer in. And then on to Tony. Tom, you can give us all your opinions on Sinisterra and the Brentford defence after I've gone through Tony. I think he had two games, Everton and Palace, in game week 4 and 5, where he didn't return. He got a yellow card as well against Palace. And I seem to remember last year he got a lot of yellow cards. This year only one. But he started the season off great, 8 points, 9 points, 8 points. And then he goes through two games, especially the Everton game. You kind of hope for a turn there. I think he hit the post in that one. So he still showed good potential. No return against Palace. But then he comes flying back with a hat trick, very confident penalty, a very, very well taken free kick from the edge of the box. And his third goal is not in my mind right now, but look, he's been class this season. He's really shown some top quality. And as we come into perhaps a period where three up front is an option, I think Tony is certainly putting his name forward as a man to be your second or third striker. Tom, what do you make of all of that?
Yeah, I think just summarising Tony's three goals, penalty, free kick, and then where the Melier was out and he chipped it over the two defenders, a very calm, collected finish. I can't remember which one you missed, but just yeah, great three great goals and shows that he is an all-round player. I think I really rate Tony as a pick. I think for me, I have a bit of flashbacks when I owned him last season, but I think he's a different player this season. Obviously, he was still great last season, but you know, he wasn't as much of an FPL option. But he is the main man this season. So yeah, no, he's definitely a man to watch slash invest in the near future. Yeah, Brentford defence. I'm glad because I was very close to getting Henry a couple of weeks back. We did talk about Brentford, how we, you know, we reckon we'd both be on their defence at one point this season, like before the World Cup. And yeah, I think you're right. I'm glad I haven't. It's not to say they won't keep a few clean sheets, but yeah, they don't look as solid this season. I think they'll be, as we saw, they score five goals, which they didn't do much last season, if they did at all. But yeah, they're still conceding a few. So yeah, the defence is a void for me. Leeds, yeah. Obviously, Rodrigo injury. I think that was the week I missed the pod. That was quite comical. Not from Rodrigo's point of view, obviously, but you know, everyone bringing him in, hopping on the bandwagon. We both said off pod together when we that you know that we didn't think they should. But yeah, and I think Sinisterra is a great option as well. I do rate Somerville though, so obviously you've got to watch the minutes. But yeah, no, I think 1 week punt. I wouldn't say no.
Yeah, we also saw the return of Patrick Bamford in this game. Came onto the pitch for the second half and had an open goal that he somehow managed to miss on his weak foot. But he's come back into the team now with, I think, 9 days rest after the Brentford game. I expect him to start and play at least 60 or 70 in the Forest game. And as a 1 week differential, I don't think he's a bad option there. He'd probably be on penalties as well, I would imagine. So I think Bamford could be a decent 1 week shout. Just a little differential if you're feeling a bit punty this week.
Not for me. Not for me. I wouldn't go there.
Yeah, fair enough. There is obviously a minutes concern, and missing a big chance isn't what you want in a striker that you want to bring in. But the potential is there with a very good fixture against Forest at home on Monday nights. But Tom, I think we should move on to Chelsea versus West Ham and the Tuchel sacking?
Well, I think the main, actually, I'm surprised we haven't mentioned it yet, but VAR heavily controlled this week, and there were some very poor decisions, and we'll come onto them in the Newcastle game, in the Villa game as well, and there was a few in there was actually one in the Leeds game. I think they should have had a pen, but Chelsea West Ham got robbed of a point, but I think now reporting now obviously on the Thursday timestamp this. That's not really that we don't really need to discuss that because oh yeah, Tuchel's gone, and I think that is the main talking point now because it doesn't matter how Chelsea play against West Ham. A new manager, Graham Potter, coming in. It looks like very about 99% sure it'll be him. New, yeah, he's gonna. I'm not sure how he's gonna do, to be honest. He's a great manager, and I didn't want him to go there, but he's done it at Brighton. They're a bit of a small club. No offense to the Brighton fans, but he's coming into Chelsea now, where he's going to need results straight away. He's a long-term manager, in my opinion, but you don't really get that at Chelsea. We saw Tuchel. I mean, it's very harsh. It's a very silly sacking, but that's the owner. The owner doesn't know what he's doing. That you can definitely sure of that, and that's what you get when you get these type of owners in. Seen it at Woking with an American owner, and we've seen it at Chelsea now. They don't know what they're doing, but. I'm not complaining. And I think in terms of FPL wise, the Chelsea fullbacks are going to be unreal. James, Chilwell, Cucurella, whoever plays. And there's going to be definitely some times to double up on them. And I couldn't tell you about the attack. I think we'll have to assess and see. But in terms of FPL, it's exciting with the wild card coming up. Not in terms of being a Premier League and football fan, because I think Chelsea might be shone, but in terms of FPL, I'm glad, and as I come on later, I'm holding the wild card for a week or two so I can assess them. But yeah, I think there will be definitely chance to triple up, double up slash triple up on Chelsea now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think over the next week and a bit, Chelsea play Fulham away. They then have a Champions League game in midweek before Liverpool at home, which is their last game for the international break. So it gives us a couple, well, three games to assess. And the wing backs could be very profitable. I was at the Fulham Brighton game recently, and you really see the wing backs pushing up really high. Solly March on the right. Has got a lot of chances this season, and he moves into a right forward kind of position, really super advanced. Now, that's not to say this is going to get repeated at Chelsea, but because we are pretty certain that Potter's going to go to Chelsea, there's been a verbal agreement in place, so seems very likely. Now, the wing backs obviously same very similar system to what Tuchel had in terms of the formation. I think the full backs could be really really solid, but with Chilwell and Cucurella at left wing back. It's at the moment we don't know who's gonna start there because Cucurella obviously was at Brighton earlier in the season, was there last season, so Potter is very familiar with him. But Chilwell is maybe a slightly better player, so we don't know who's gonna play. We need to assess for a little while, and then maybe in game week 9 or 10, have a look and invest in the wing backs. I think James should play a right wing back, and he looks like a great option already. This is. Assuming that Chelsea are going to do well because they might really struggle. We yet to see that. But I certainly think there's big potential in that defence. Some you said you'd look at double or tripling up. From the end of the international break to the World Cup, Chelsea have this run of fixtures, which I think defensively especially could be very profitable. These wing backs could really do well here. Palace away, Wolves at home, Villa away, Brentford away, United at home, Brighton away, Arsenal at home, and Newcastle away. So I can see some big hauls in there for the wing backs. There's a lot to monitor in the next few weeks, and a player like Aubameyang or Sterling could also get a lot of goals. But that is one thing that Brighton were known for, is they're a team that created a lot of chances but lacked that finishing touch, lacked that quality in the final third. Now Chelsea have players that probably have more quality in the final third, but will the system mean that they struggle to finish those chances? We're yet to see, but certainly over the next three Chelsea games, monitor closely what happens because I expect they'll feature heavily in our teams from after the international break to the World Cup.
I don't think it's the system that causes Brighton not to finish chances. I think it's the players. You look at the strikers; they've had Welbeck, Maupay, and they're not. great players. So yeah, I think look, if Chelsea get flowing in the system, I think with the attacking options they have, the likes of Sterling, Havertz, Mount, then I think they will be banging in the goals. But yeah, we'll have to see. I think my personal opinion, short term, Cucurella starts just because Potter knows him, but I do think Chilwell is the better player. So longer term, when Potter gets that chance, to have more time with the team, integrate his tactics and his way of playing, I think Chilwell will be number one. Depends how long that takes. Yeah, that's just my thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. So I think for Chelsea, it's a monitor. We'll get onto wild card strategies later, and Chelsea will feature in that discussion probably. But I'd like to touch upon West Ham, Tom. Robbed of a late equaliser from Kone by VAR. Now they've got a nice run of fixtures coming up. They're starting to turn the tide a little bit. A draw at home to Spurs, should have got a draw away at Chelsea. Now they've got good fixtures: Newcastle, Everton, Wolves, Fulham, Saints, Liverpool, Bournemouth, United, Palace, Leicester up until the World Cup. That's a very strong fixture run, in my opinion. Now, if it was last season, Bowen would be straight into our teams, but he hasn't shown the form this season. But with the fixtures, surely there's a West Ham asset or a couple of assets that could be worth owning. What do you think, Tom?
I think, look, they've got good fixtures, like you said. Fixtures isn't everything, obviously. You've got to look at form. I mean, if they've got that point at Chelsea, they would have got 3 points in their last three, and two teams against the two of the best four teams in the league. So it would have been a great last three. I think, look, if this Emerson keeps playing at 4 mil, he could become an option. But I think, again, that people not wildcarding this week, you've got a week or two just to assess and watch West Ham, and maybe take a punt. But I think it would be classed as a punt again in a West Ham attacker because they're not showing what they showed last season. Yeah. But yeah, there'll be a time and a place, but not at the moment for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think assess for the next couple of weeks because the fixtures long term are so good. You're not missing out in the short term too much when there's not a stand option. Because if you transfer one of them in now as a punt, that could go badly wrong. Now, I'd like you to give me your thoughts on Paqueta. Started and played 80 minutes. He seems to be playing quite an attacking role. Could he be an interesting option, do you think?
Nah, no. I think it's as simple as that. Not for me. He's a good player. He'll be a good player, but there will not be consistent attacking returns. I can guarantee you that.
All right. So I think that rounds up our the discussion on that game. We can move on now to Newcastle Palace. Now, me and Tom, as mentioned earlier, we're at the Spurs Fulham game and we check the scores after the full time whistle at Spurs. And we see 0-0 Newcastle Palace. Pope getting nine saves and some really high bonus points for Trippier, 38 bonus points without an attacking return. And Anderson getting 37 as well. Extremely, extremely high for a 0-0 game. I think, Tom, you gave me a stat which you can tell the listeners, which really proved Trippier's attacking potential in this game. But Newcastle defensively, they've kept three clean sheets this season. Forest at home, Brighton away, and Palace at home. Three that they haven't was away at Liverpool, away at Wolves, and away at City. And they didn't concede too many chances against Wolves either. So they have been very reliable defensively so far this year with a very, very nice fixture run going from now up until the World Cup. So I think defensively, Newcastle really look like a strong team to invest in right now. And up front as well, because they created quite a few chances. Guaita made a number of big, big saves. Willock getting, obviously they got the goal for a Mitchell own goal, which was ruled out, I thought, harshly, very, very harshly on Willock. I think it should have been a foul on Willock, not a foul on Guaita. But yeah, Willock at 5 mil is a decent option. But I think as you're only allowed to choose three players in FPL, I think Newcastle at their price points are very good options. And I think you want to optimize those three picks. So two defenders and a striker for me is probably the way to go with Newcastle moving forward. And touching on Palace, Guaita, my man from a couple seasons ago, putting a sterling performance in this game. made some massive saves. And Palace as well, the defensively, I mean, they've only kept, I think that was their first clean sheet of the season. Yeah, it was. And after their blank in game week 8, Brighton versus Palace has been postponed due to industrial train strikes or something like that. They've got some good fixtures from then on until the World Cup, so I think they could offer some potential both defensively and offensively. But yeah, two teams that I think are in a good position in their season. They're on decent form, and they came together and put on an entertaining nil-nil, and I think they'll be very investable in the next few weeks, Tom.
Yeah, let's not kid ourselves. Newcastle were robbed of the 3 points. I mean, as we saw in the West Ham game, they were robbed. Newcastle robbed as well. VAR really needs to be sorted out, and I think you can't be making decisions like that, especially when you're going and looking at the monitor as well. It's not just VAR; it's the referees themselves, because VAR works in even the Champions League works better. So it's clearly something to do with the referees we have in this country. So yeah, I think look, Newcastle can go
Told
away
to do.
feeling harsh. But yeah, I mean, good result for both of them. On Palace, it's interesting. Robbie mentioned the defence last week. And I think you said about them not, obviously not getting actual returns, but maybe this is the start of the points of the clean sheet. Definitely investable, the likes of Zaha is definitely still investable as well. I think look, Palace Brighton being called off is ridiculous. I've not seen anything like it for strikes. My only thoughts are because it's the derby, but still, in such a tight fixture schedule, you can't really be calling off games. But I'm guessing they'll just put Palace Brighton in the midweek when the Champions League is on or something like that. I don't think it was meant to be televised, so they can just put it on in any midweek, so it shouldn't affect the fixture schedule in the long run. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a very good point for Palace. Newcastle will be kicking themselves. But yeah, on the wild card, I think personally for me, you're looking at double or triple Newcastle and definitely at least one Palace, probably a Zaha. And then maybe I'd still need to see a bit more from them defensively. But they've got a good running. So yeah, I think there's definitely a chance to invest in one of them, even if they sit on your bench or they rotate. But yeah, two, like you said, two solid teams that have got a solid season ahead for sure.
Totally agreed. I think that sums up the game pretty well. So moving on to Forest versus Bournemouth. Now, in our draft 11 last week, which is where me and Tom, or last week me and Robbie, come together to choose 11 players that we think are going to do well in the upcoming game, we did pick Brennan Johnson, who ended up picking up a goal from a penalty, which was won by Nico Williams, who was also in the draft 11. I think that first half kind of went as we expected. Forest dominating, went 2-0 up. And then the second half, things just turned around completely. And under their interim manager, Gary O'Neill, I believe his name is, they've put in two good performances. Well, not in the first half of this Forest game, in the second half, solid 0-0 against Wolves. I mean, I think they'll give Brighton a really good run for their money on the weekend. Solanke, the main man, I think, coming back from, I think it was an injury, got 45 minutes against Liverpool and then has played 90 in both of the last two games, picking up a goal and an assist at 5.7 mil. With the wealth of striking options, I don't think Solanke's the man, but he is a cheap option, and I think he'll end up picking up something like 8 to 10 goals this season. I think he's a solid player, who had a good season in the Championship last year with around 30 goals. But yeah, Forest disappointing. They got opened up defensively. Yet again, they got battered by Spurs, should have lost about 4-5 nil, battered against City. And of course, you'd expect them to probably lose these games, but it's just the amount of chances that they're conceding and the quality of the chances they're conceding is not good looking for Forest supporters. I think Forest are one of those teams where if you've got an attacker against them, you can feel quite confident, because I just don't see much defensive solidity there, even in the clean sheet they got at home to West Ham. Rice had a penalty that was saved, I think, and it hit the bar, and Benrahma had a goal ruled out for a debatable foul. So I think Forest are very, very questionable defensively. And this week, Leeds attacker, or next week, a Fulham attacker, maybe Mitro or Andreas, are looking like they're going to have a lot of chances to get points.
Yeah, I think Forest are in big trouble personally. I think it's what you get when you sign 20 odd players. Look, and they don't have any time to gel. But yeah, if you've got attackers against them, you play them. I think firstly, Chris, we must mention, I don't know if you saw this, but congratulations to someone we knew that we went to school with and his mum taught us. But Josh Bowler signed for Nottingham Forest from Blackpool. Had a great start. He's on loan. They've sent him out to Olympiacos, but yeah, it's great to see from him, from and it's from someone that we went to school with. It does make it a scene what could have been. But yeah, fair play to him, and it's good to see. And hopefully they stay up for his sake, be cheering them on. But yeah, I think that no one expected Bournemouth to score three. Credit to Gary Neil. He switched it up at half time. I think he changed formation. I think he made one or two subs as well. And I was watching match of the day. Can't exactly remember, but it changed the game. And I mean, credit to Solanke as well, putting a great performance. But yeah, my overall opinion on Forest, I thought at the start they'd be fine because they had a good system, but they're like a lower version. They're basically like a worse version of Leeds when they first came up. Leeds just scored, outscored teams. They couldn't really, they just attacked. Forest can't defend and aren't scoring enough. So I think they are in big, big trouble, personally.
Yeah, agreed with you there. They've got a nice little fixture on, I'd say, the next five: Leeds, Fulham, Leicester, Villa, Wolves. But I'm still concerned, even with that fixture on, that they'll get many points. Just the way they play with five at the back, the front three tend to not drop back and help that much defensively. So once you start dragging out one of those two midfielders, there's so much space in the middle for teams to exploit, which is concerning. Certainly, improvements need to be made at Forest there. So definitely look to invest in teams and players that are playing against them on a 1 or 2 week punt, I'd say.
Yeah, no, definitely. Moving on to the next game. Unless you've got anything to say on Bournemouth.
Yeah, Tom, give us your opinion on the Spurs Fulham game. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it was arguably Tottenham's best performance of the season. Again, we were at Tottenham again last night watching the Champions League. So, I mean, it's a bit of a blur this game. So I'll just summarize it as much as I can, but can't remember as much because of the game last night. But I think, look, first half, Tottenham really dominated, and I said to you, I was like, I don't know what the hype was about Fulham. I don't know, you've been hyping them up, this and that. And they were, Tottenham just outplayed them. Dier and Romero outplayed Mitrovic. Just nothing was working. And Tottenham, I mean, Son should have had a couple. Tottenham should have been four up, I think, is a reasonable judgment. And it was a very frustrating first half. Fulham just not playing football. It was a very anti-football first half performance. Them going down, wasting about 10 minutes in the first half. And it was very frustrating to watch as a Spurs fan. But Tottenham dug in. Højbjerg does what he does best, and gets these clutch goals. He's not afraid to take a shot. And there was a nice bit of movement, a nice link up from him and Richarlison. And then obviously Kane got his goal as well. A nice cross from Szczęsny on Kane was in the right position, a bit like what Haaland does. You get yourself in the position, the goals are going to come. And then obviously Richarlison had his ruled out for offside, which was a shame. I mean, I love the celebration, I love the passion from him. But it was a very nervy last 10 minutes, and it didn't need to be. Mitrovic, I mean, scored a lovely goal. That is a goal of a top striker. Get one or two chances and you bury it away, and it was a great finish. And I'm sure we'll talk about him later, but he is definitely one to have on your wild card or to consider anyway. And I mean, if it wasn't for Lloris, I think this game would have, Tottenham may have dropped points here because he made a few clutch saves at the end. But yeah, as a Spurs fan, you're happy with the performance. It's another 3 points. We're winning games where last season, this game obviously we played better, but last season we're dropping points. So under Mourinho, we were dropping points in all these games, but we're winning them. And yeah, I'm very happy in terms of FPL. Obviously, we saw Kulusevski. Yeah, so I posted a predicted Tottenham lineup, didn't I? I remember now. Because obviously I didn't get to talk about them on the pod, so I thought I'd come out. Now, I'd predicted Richarlison to start, and I was right, but he benched Kulusevski instead of Son. Now, no one expected that, but thinking about it now, I can see why it was done. And I think I was very unlucky because the right decision was to bench Son, and I still believe that, and I think every Spurs fan does, because Kulusevski's on great form. But I think the way Conte sees it is, look, he wants to keep backing Son, because once Son gets one goal, it'll be flying. And by benching him, it just shows for Son, it might affect his confidence. He might think Conte doesn't have faith. So he wants to keep giving him and showing him faith and keep playing him. And like it was like Kane last season, you keep playing them until they get that goal. Is it necessarily the right thing to do? Maybe not. We won the game, so it doesn't really matter. And I'll when we get onto the preview for next game week, I'm pretty certain I can get the Tottenham lineup right this week. But yeah, I was wrong with the information there. Right about Sessegnon starting over Perisic, but wrong about Kulusevski being benched. I had him in my own team. I'm keeping him, but didn't expect it. But yeah, no, I think overall it's a big win. But Fulham are, Mitrovic, not Fulham as a team, but Mitrovic is definitely a player to invest in on FPL.
Yeah, I mean, on Fulham, Mitrovic is your main man. I wouldn't touch the defence because there's definitely better options. However, Andreas, if you want to play him every now and again, especially in home games, he's a decent option. But other than that, I wouldn't really touch Fulham. I think it's certainly very harsh to say Fulham were playing anti-football in the first half. They got an injury around 30 minutes and they had to change the system a little bit. So they, maybe you could say it was gamesmanship. Silva wanted all his players together so he could discuss how to change up the style a little bit. But
Yeah,
there
but it's
was a tiny
anti-football.
little bit of time wasting, but it was not that bad as a Burnley that we've seen in previous years.
It
And
was.
second half, we saw the football that Fulham can play in the last 20 minutes. They were quite free flowing, creating quite a few chances, and Mitro taking a lot of shots, which shows his confidence even from outside the box. Normally he's a in the box shooter, but he took quite a few shots from outside the box this game. Nearly got rewarded a couple of times. But yeah, look, Spurs were very, very good. Very good performance. Kane picking up the goal, which is good for our FPL teams, that's for sure, Tom. He's been a consistent FPL asset this season, just not as explosive as Haaland, unfortunately, for the owners like myself. But I think the main talking point here for Spurs is that left wing back position. I mean, if at any point Perisic or Sessegnon gets injured, the other one has got to be in our teams, even with tough fixtures. I think Sessegnon had an extremely good game. He used to play for Fulham actually, so this was I think he was part of the Fulham Academy, ended up working his way into the Fulham first team when he was about 17, 18. So it was a meaningful game for him. He clapped the fans at the end, but he was great. He was absolutely superb. Could have walked away with a goal and two assists super easily. Had the assist for Richarlison's offside goal. He looks really, really good. And if there's ever a chance where Perisic is injured, I'm going to be first man to hop on him. I really like the look of Spurs, and it just does seem to be that the left wing back bombs forward more than the right wing back for Spurs. So I'd always keep that in mind when looking to invest. But I think we're seeing that with the chances that they're getting and the crosses that they're putting in. It's mainly coming down that left wing back side instead of the right wing back side. But yeah, Spurs very solid and very investable assets with what are some tougher fixtures to come, Tom. Now they've got City and Leicester in the next two, Arsenal and Brighton after that, which is counted for the tougher fixture run. But in the next two, if you're looking at like yourself, wildcard and game 9, what would you say about the Spurs players? Is it worth taking a 2 week punt? Because I know in previous seasons Spurs have done well away at City, and that Leicester at home game looks like a really, really good one. I think all players could pick up a lot of points in a 3-4-0 win. So, what would you suggest people do with the coming fixture?
Just quickly before I say that, I want to say that if Tottenham ever did what Fulham did in that first half, I'd be embarrassed to associate myself with Tottenham. It was embarrassing. I'm trying to put that out there. But on the Tottenham, yeah, it's a tough one. I was really tempted to bring in Son for a 2 week punt. I'm not going to do it more because I've got other fires to put on my team, and there is still a risky. He does get benched. I can't see it now, but you know, there's still that risk. And if he does get benched, it'd be a deserved benching, let's just say. I think, look, if you got the assets, you hold. If you have Perisic, I don't think he plays at City, and then I couldn't tell you at Leicester, but I said that on the post last week. So I don't know what. I think it was pretty certain that Perisic wasn't going to start last week. So if you kept him, I don't know what you kept him for. If it was just for the Leicester game, you've kept him for, and then obviously you keep him, and then you assess next week. It's tough. I think I have Kulusevski. I'm 99% sure he starts, but I was 99% sure he started at the weekend, last weekend gone. I still think he starts. I'm still keeping him. Would I bring Kulusevski in? No, not for this week. I wouldn't. Not for Leicester. I wouldn't bring Kane in either. I'm happy to have him. I'm personally, we'll get onto it, but I'm probably captain him this week. But I don't know like who you'd bring him in. I think the only player you could argue bring in is Sessegnon for 2 weeks. But let's be honest, City, we're not keeping a clean sheet, so you'd be relying on his attacking threat. And then you've got to be confident he starts at Leicester, which you can't tell now. So would I bring in Spurs player this week? Probably not. But if you do still have Sonny, I would play him this week because you know what happens when he plays City. But he still doesn't look on it. But all it takes is one goal. But yeah, so my opinion is I wouldn't bring in any Spurs players this week. But if you have them, unless Perisic, I'd probably play them.
I agree with you there. Good stuff. I think we can move on to Wolves Southampton briefly. Just touch upon it from, well, for two reasons, from my perspective. I think Shea Adams has looked good. Hasn't returned in each of the last three, but he's looked good. Created, he's had a lot of chances. Scored a goal in this one, which was ruled out because he handled it on its way in, which was very disappointing, I'm sure, for him. Southampton played well, especially second half. Probably deserved the point. I think they'll be. I wouldn't invest in Southampton because I think there's more consistent and reliable assets at a similar price. But they've got a decent few fixtures coming up: Brentford, Villa, Everton, City, West Ham, Bournemouth. That's a nice little run. I think Shea Adams is a nice differential as a 2 or 3 week punt. But I mean, really, there's better options elsewhere. So I probably wouldn't be doing it. But Southampton are starting to play a bit better after a very poor first game of the season, and from a Wolves point of view, I just want to look at their results this season because they're all very low scoring games. In their first six games, there's been no more than three goals scored in a game. Their results have been as follows: 2-1, 0-0, 1-0, 1-1, 0-0, and 1-0. Now, why is that important? Well, Wolves are playing Liverpool and City in the next two. And from that, I still think City could put three past them. But Wolves don't concede too many goals, I think, is what we can take from the start of this season. And it makes me concerned for the Liverpool assets this weekend. And even Haaland and De Bruyne versus Wolves, I think they'll struggle to get too many chances. I think it'll be a similar game to the Villa game, probably the Wolves versus City game in game eight. But I think that's an interesting point to touch upon if you're thinking about a Salah captaincy this week.
I don't think it's, in my opinion, I think, look, it's an interesting information, but I don't think it's that important. I think that Liverpool will struggle to score whoever they're playing. They'll struggle to get a result in, with the form they're playing at the moment. And City, I don't think it matters who they play. Whoever they play, Haaland's going to knock a couple past them. I mean, if you see the way De Bruyne and Haaland are linking up, I think it doesn't matter if they're playing the best team in the world or the worst team in the world. They're just looking ridiculously good, and just Haaland's move and everything that no one's going to be able to deal with him. Upstep Dier and Romero, and I'll be apologise on the pod next week when Spurs keep a clean sheet, but I wouldn't be complaining. But no, I think look, it's going to be a tough game for Liverpool, but any game's tough for them at the moment with the way they're playing. And yeah, I whoever Liverpool were playing this week, I couldn't go with Salah captain, whether it was Forest or Wolves, personally.
Yeah, even against Forest, I wouldn't be too convinced of too many goals. Although we saw it happen against Bournemouth, so who knows there. But
Salah blanked.
like, what was that?
Salah blanked at Bournemouth.
That's true. Yeah, of course. But talking about City, they went away to Villa, didn't put in their best performance, but Haaland and De Bruyne are linking up nicely. De Bruyne hit the bar in this one, set up Haaland for his goal. And I think De Bruyne is a very interesting player FPL-wise at the moment. Now, especially away from home, he seems to play a more advanced role in these leading counter-attacks with Haaland. Now, he got an assist in the Villa game. He then went to Sevilla after hitting the bar against Villa. He had a one-on-one, which was well saved by the Sevilla goalkeeper. Now, I get the sense that a goal is coming with him. He's getting closer and closer. And I feel like his time might be this weekend for his first goal to come in a little while. Now, his assist threat is always going to be there with his quality and also with Haaland in the team. But I do think a goal's come with him. It's just he's getting closer and closer and closer. I think he's a very good Salah replacement this week, even this week. When you might look at Wolves as a half decent home game, I think De Bruyne against Spurs has got much better potential for points than Salah does with the way that De Bruyne and Haaland are playing up front. I think he's a great option at the moment in FPL, and I strongly recommend owning him alongside Haaland. That's what I'll probably be doing. But yeah, Haaland doesn't take many chances. He only needs one or two big chances, which he is getting consistently every game, at least one big chance in every Premier League game so far this season. It's very hard not to own him. Although I think there is a slight potential risk of rotation in the Wolves away game. I can't see it. Some people have said that there's a chance of it. He certainly plays in the Spurs game and he'll play in the Champions League game, I'm sure. But I think there is, if you've got Kane, I would be tempted to hold for the next two because the Spurs City game is unpredictable. We've seen in previous seasons both teams like to score goals in that one. And then in game week eight, especially if you're wildcard in game week nine, Leicester at home is a much, much better fixture than Wolves away. I think Kane's probably the best captain option in game week eight. So I'd be very tempted to keep hold of Kane for the next two if I had him in my team. But then it is such a big risk with Haaland being at 79% owner.
I don't think there's any argument to it. You couldn't sell Kane with his next two fixtures unless you're wildcarding for game week eight. So I think if you kept him this long, yeah, I think Kane outscores Haaland in the next two. But no, I wouldn't look into these Haaland benching things. I mean, he started all three games in a row in last week when, you know, we thought he'd all be benched. Pep's very good at managing his minutes, you know, he's getting subbed early, he got subbed against Seville when he was on for his hat trick. Pep doesn't care. He, about things like that. He's the perfect manager for Haaland. And I think, look, there's going to be game. He's not going to start 38 Premier League games, let's be realistic. But, you know, he's going to start the majority of them. And as we were saying off pod, he only needs 60 minutes to get, you know, two, three goals. And I mean, most of his goals, you know, they're easy finishes, but it's down to his movement. And in a team like City, you get so many chances. All Haaland needs to do is get himself in the right position and he'll get the ball. And a lot of them have been, you know, him tapping it into the open net or the keeper being nowhere near him. But that's all down to his movement. So, yeah, he's a great option. On De Bruyne, it's interesting. I think, again, he's a great option. His assist potential is great. His attacking potential, you know, I don't think he's going to get that many goals this season, if I'm being honest with you. But, you know, if he's getting two assists a game, let's say averaging something like that, then yeah, he's definitely a good option. But I can't see that many goals from him this season, personally.
Yeah, I think he's better option away from home. Although in the big games, he does tend to perform well at home. But I think he's the best midfield option out of Salah and by a mile at the moment.
What out of two players?
Out of those two, yeah.
Yeah, but that's very small samples. Very small comparison. Salah's out of form and De Bruyne is playing in the best team in the world, arguably, and is the best midfielder in the league. So, obviously, that's just stating the obvious.
Well, the reason I bring it up, Tom, is because Salah's still nearly 50% owned. So, a lot of those people, I would recommend switching to De Bruyne even this week.
Yeah, I have him in my team. I'm not going to do it. And I have two reasons why, and I'll see what you think. Firstly, there's something about Salah. I've stuck with him this long, and it's like that. What was the game where he got 10 points for us with Liverpool fan?
Newcastle at home, you've got a jammy
Yeah,
assist in the 98th.
he's always getting these jammy returns, Salah. And I think, look, Wolves at home, okay, yes, they don't concede many, but there's no way Liverpool are losing that after losing to Napoli. They can't lose, and they're winning this. And I think Tottenham's a much tougher game than Wolves, so I think this week could be. I don't think this is the right week to move Salah on if you've kept him this long, because there's obviously a reason you've kept him. Maybe next week I wouldn't be against it, but this week I don't think it's the right week to switch Salah to De Bruyne, because De Bruyne's playing Spurs.
Would you captain Salah this week?
No, but I wouldn't captain De Bruyne either.
So I think the Liverpool Wolves game is going to be a tight game, similar to the Liverpool Newcastle game. Not too many chances for Liverpool. I think Wolves will put in a similar performance to what they did away at Spurs, where they dominated the game, especially for the first half. So I think the City Spurs game is going to be more open, more chances, and I think the potential points is actually bigger for De Bruyne than it is for Salah. But let's not forget, even though Salah was fairly quiet in the majority of the Everton game, he had that great chance at the end, which was saved onto the post. So we might be speaking differently right now had that save not been made. So I
And
think that's something
Thiago's back.
to remember. And Thiago being back will make a difference. Now, we've been speaking a lot about City and Liverpool. I want to touch on Villa because to draw against City on their form is actually very impressive. Bailey coming into the team in the last couple of weeks, getting the goal. I mean, it's classic FPL, isn't it? He's gone down to 4.7 mil from a starting price of 5 mil, and now he's starting to, he gets an assist against Palace, gets benched against West Ham, then gets a goal against City. It's not too bad at 4.7 mil as a fifth midfielder, with the fixtures that Villa have coming up. Could be something to look at. I'd certainly want to leave it a couple of weeks before making that decision, but the fixtures up to the World Cup are good. They play Leicester, Southampton, Leeds, Forest, Chelsea, Fulham, Brentford, Newcastle United, and Brighton up until the World Cup. So that's a good fixture on there. And if they were on better form, I'd certainly be looking at having one or two of their players, but it's just the form. Can we rely on them? They've been very inconsistent last season. This season, you just can't trust them. So you need to give it time. But I think if the next two, if Bailey looks really good, I think he might start getting nailed and he could be a nice little fifth midfielder option for games like Nottingham Forest, Brentford, Leeds, So I think one to just monitor on the side. But yeah, very big point for Villa. Well played.
Yeah, I still prefer Andreas Pereira from Cova Villa.
Same,
Sorry, over
same.
Bailey, because of the consistency of just point in that fifth midfielder. If he's coming off your bench, you want a guaranteed 2 points. Chris, something that is interesting has just come up that I thought I'd just touch on. Is it be a, it's an interesting thing, I think, just for people to be aware of and people to watch this thing. But it looks like the Queen's quite unwell. And like she's asked to have a medical supervision. Now, if she does end up passing away, there'll be 10 days without football. So I would just watch that for Game Week 8 if people are wild carding. Because if she does end up going this week, looks like those fixtures will not be taking place. So yeah, I'd just keep your eye on that.
Right, I hadn't heard anything about this. I don't
Just
know.
it's just come out.
Right. Medical supervision, is that like serious or not?
It sounds like it is. Not they're not giving the details, but it doesn't sound great.
Right.
So I
Well,
would
yeah.
just keep your eye on that.
And it's there'll definitely be 10 days
Yeah, I think it's
if that happens.
I think it's 10 days of like something like you're not allowed to work and you're not allowed to do this, and the football will be off for 10 days, I believe.
Okay, well, watch that space, everyone. I had no idea about that situation. Hopefully, she stays well and at least reaches the big 100. But anyway, I think can we return back to the main focus of this podcast, on which is FPL. I'd
What a
like to move.
cold heart you have.
Yeah, so we got Brighton versus Leicester on the Sunday. Now, it's a shame that we're going to talk about this game and I'm going to advise you, if you've got Brighton assets too, but get rid of them this week or next week, because a 5-2 win is very impressive. McAllister getting 2 goals. Tom, you're not impressed in my decision to get Gross instead of McAllister, or at least you're not impressed that I down McAllister's potential for points, because he's got 4 goals in his last 4 games, and now
still a fifth
in
a
penalties.
Screamer.
Yeah, he did score a screamer, but his non-penalty XG per game has been less than 0.1. So a lot of his potential for points has come through penalties, and I felt like this was just one of those games. He's on. He's feeling confident. He's scoring all of his penalties, and he's scored a screamer and a nice free kick. So, look, I certainly wouldn't be hopping on any Brighton assets now. They've got a blanking game at 8 before. I mean, Liverpool isn't really, probably not that much of a bad game anymore. But I would be hopping off Brighton assets within the next 2 weeks. Putting a very good performance. So Trossard getting a goal and assist. I think in the last couple of weeks, he's been the better option than Gross. And that was proven in this game, I think. But Brighton, very impressive. No clean sheet, it was disappointing. I'm not sure how they're going to perform with no Potter away at Bournemouth on the weekend. I'm really not sure how that game's going to pan out, but I wouldn't sell a defender before that fixture. I would consider selling someone like Gross, because away from home, not as solid as he is at home, in my opinion. And Bournemouth, a fairly confident team at the moment, I would imagine, going into that game at home. So I think Brighton will struggle to get more than a goal or two in that one. So I would consider transferring out. But definitely time to hop off Brighton after at least game week 8. And from a Leicester perspective, well, things just go from bad to worse, really. Conceding 5. I know Vardy didn't play in this one, but he hasn't been good at all this season. His replacement, Daka and Iheanacho, both getting on the score sheet, which is impressive. But look, I think we watched the Villa game, we watched the Spurs game. Leicester, on any one of the previous 5 seasons, would have provided lots of strong assets to bring in from game week 9 until the World Cup. Forest, Bournemouth, Palace, Leeds, Wolves, City, Everton, West Ham is a nice run. But if they haven't got the form, then just can't invest. I think they have the fixtures to give them the opportunity to turn around their form more easily. And I think Madison especially could be a good pick at some point, but very concerning times for Leicester. If they don't beat Villa, Rodgers is in huge trouble.
I disagree. I think game week 9 is the perfect time to hop on Leicester. And I'll definitely be having one, maybe two. And, you know, there might be, by the time game week 9 comes around, I think there'll be the manager boost. Rodgers will be gone. And yeah, I'll definitely, whether Rodgers is there or he's not, I'll definitely be having at least one and maybe two. I think, yeah, we've been done over in our team by Brian, by you, Chris. I think Gross was probably never a good pick. You got him in for his pens and he wasn't even on pens. He got a haul or two, but he's been a flop in our team. And so it's, very disappointing. And I'm sitting there at Brighton double defence and I'm very concerned. Brighton have let us down lately. But if you had McAllister, well done. That's all I can say.
Yeah, for those listeners hearing what Tom's just said about Gross, let's not forget that the top midfielder point scorer this season is the man himself, Pascal Gross. So I don't want to hear all this from Tom. Yes, we brought him in probably at the wrong time before the Fulham game where he blanked and then got only 5 points against Leicester in a 5-2 win. But he's been very, very good value for money. From the time that I brought him in game week 3, 6 points, 11 points, 2 and 5. I'm very happy with my transfer. And it's just with these bandwagons, because Gross has gone up from 5.5 to 6 mil already this season. It does tend to be that the form lasts for a few weeks and then it starts to dip and drop off a little. And when it starts to dip is when everyone jumps in. So it's just something to keep in mind, because we've seen the bandwagons. Rodrigo is another example, although the injury is makes it more difficult to take any judgments from, but he was a big bandwagon, a huge bandwagon, and then he gets 2 points and 1 points, you know. So, but just be careful with these bandwagons. Don't get too caught up in the hype, because normally when the hype's at its highest is when things start to drop off.
Yeah. That's the last time I let you convince me into a pair like that, that's for sure.
All right. Well, I think that rounds off our discussion for Brighton. And then on to the final game of the week. I mean, Arsenal played some brilliant football in this game. Saka getting a goal, should have had an assist for Martinelli's. I think it was an offside goal. But
Right.
Saka looks really good. Three returns in his last three. Oh, yeah, it was a foul from Odegaard, wasn't it? A soft foul, I think. But
A
Saka
foul.
looks. What was that?
A foul at the end of the day, it was a foul. I don't care if it was soft, it was a foul. But continue.
Yeah, I think that we're that kind of decision is normally given as a foul by referees nowadays. So to keep the consistency, they should give it as a foul, but it is soft at the end of the day. But yeah, Saka, three returns in his last three. I really like the look of him. I think he's even captaincy material in this Everton at home game. Martinelli, goal ruled out, but again he looked decent as well. I think Saka and Martinelli are two Arsenal assets that I'd have ahead of Jesus actually now. I think they're more consistent and more reliable. I mean, Jesus had that great performance against Leicester where everything was going his way. And he got unlucky against Bournemouth away, but he doesn't mind the yellow card. And a lot of play seems to happen around him as well. It's not just him on the end of all the chances like Haaland for City. It's the chances are really spread around, which has always put me off captaining him. I wouldn't be convinced to captain him this week. But yeah, I like the look of Arsenal still. Saka and Martinelli especially. No clean sheet in the last three games. I don't know whether they keep a clean sheet against Everton, but if you're on the wild card, I'll be wild carding Ramsdale out after if you're wild carding game eight or nine for sure. And from a United perspective, I mean, the new guy Antony comes in and gets the goal, 7.5 mil. He's certainly not on my watch list, to be honest. I think if there's anyone I'm looking at, it's Rashford, two goals and assist. His goals have come in big home games, Liverpool and Arsenal, counter-attacking goals as well. However, I think with his confidence, he got the assist against Leicester as well. Leeds, City, Everton, Newcastle coming up in the next four after an away trip to Palace. So I think he's an investable option, full of confidence right now. And United with four wins on the bounce after it looks so doom and gloom after two game weeks and now right up there at the top of the table. So yeah, I like the look of Rashford. Defensively, I'm not sure. I don't think United stats defensively are great, but I think they will pick up a few clean sheets. They kept two away from home against Saints and Leicester recently. So I think Dalot could be a half decent option as a fourth or fifth defender. But yeah, impressed by Rashford especially, and Saka and Martinelli are two players I'd certainly want to keep hold of, even through a tougher fixture on coming up, because I think they will still provide good value.
It was good to see Saka get their humbling. No, sorry, Arsenal get their humbling. They deserved. Glad United put a few past them. All this talk of them, going invincible, blah, 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 blah. It's good to see United do that. And yeah, United are back. I think you're doing them a bit an unjust on them there, Chris. I think they're definitely a team to invest in the near future. The fixtures aren't great. They are after, I think, game week 12 onwards. But no, I think, the likes of Rashford, Antony, Fernandes, maybe Sancho, there is a bit of an argument to invest in defensively. Look at that defence. Varane, Martinez. Varane used to be, and he's still got it. You don't lose talent with a world-class defender. And this Martinez is obviously half decent. Otherwise, Ten Hag wouldn't have brought him over. And you get rid of the likes of Maguire and Shaw. And you see what a difference it can make. So no, I think United are definitely investable. But yeah, I think you've summed up both teams well.
Okay. Well, that rounds off game week six. And each week, me and Tom like to go through each one of the fixtures because we want to give a holistic roundup of all the games. And some games, yeah, there isn't so much to take from an FPL perspective. But even if there isn't a good asset from a team like maybe Wolves, they can still have a big impact on our assets like Liverpool and City. So I think it's important to talk through each team. I think it helps to inform your general decision making. But yeah, that rounds off game week six. And I think now we can move on to the wild card discussion. Tom, what do you reckon? Because there's a lot to discuss.
I think just quickly a few things to note. A quick update on our league. It's been a few weeks, obviously. First place, Wesley Freitas. He's I think he's been at the top for a while now. He's joint first with Kaku 23. I can't pronounce his name. And then third place is Rita Box 23 as well. So I hope they're not the same player. But yeah, they're clearly doing well. So fair play to them. But yeah, there's been a lot of movement in the league. A lot of people dropping down, but we'll keep our eye on that. And there is some very big scores going on. So yeah, this will, I think, as the season goes, we'll have a lot of top 100K finishes this season. Before we do the World Cup, Chris, let's read out our draft 11 for this week.
Yeah, so in goal, we've got Melia at home to Forest. It's very difficult. The fixtures this week are difficult to predict. A lot of 50-50s. And if you're looking for a short-term punt in the next 2 weeks, again, it's very difficult. There's no team that really stands out to me that have got really two great fixtures coming up. But yeah, each week, me and Tom go through the draft 11 and we pick 11 players that we think are going to do well in the upcoming gaming. So Melia in goal, home to Forest, James, Fulham away, Sessegnon, City away, and Gabriel, Everton at home. Explain those decisions for the listeners, Tom.
Yeah, there wasn't really much to pick from. I think that Everton were a lackluster. And Arsenal probably one of the highest chance of getting a clean sheet. James, you know, he's got to be in there for his first game with Potter. You know, he loves the wing backs when he's playing Fulham. And Sessegnon in there for his attacking threat on the counter. And I've got a good feeling about him this week.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to that and think, what kind of defense is that? Just, I would advise you to go on to FPL and look at all of the fixtures this week and select one team, just one team that you think might actually keep a clean sheet this week. Because it's really not very easy. Very difficult fixtures to predict this week. Moving into the midfield, we've got Saka. I really rate him this week. As I said, I think he's a differential captaincy option against Everton. Madison, Tom's favorite FPL player of all time, really. KDB at home to Spurs. I really rate his chances this week. And Sinisterra, now he was in our draft 11 last week, got the goal, and he's back in it this week. Forest at home, he's a very nice little differential, and maybe someone we consider bringing in on a 1 week punt. Some midfield, Tom, and then up
Yeah, wait,
front.
let me just make a comment. I'm that Saka is completely Chris. I think that 2 weeks ago we were on about moving him in our own team. So, you know, Chris seems to like him, but I would not be advising you to captain him, that's for sure. This week.
Fair enough. I think you've got to change with the time zone, FPL, and he started more defensively and he seems to be much more involved in the attack now than he
No.
was, which is why I really like the look of
Don't captain him. Whatever you do.
him. Okay. And up front, Shea Adams, spoken highly of him today, getting a lot of chances. I think he'll get a couple big chances against Brentford. Kane away at City. I think it's difficult to say who's going to do better in the City Spurs game, Haaland or Kane. We've gone with Kane. Perhaps a bit of Spurs bias
Because we've
from
gone with
Tom.
KDB, that's why.
That's true. Yeah, it was either KDB and Kane or Haaland and maybe Son. I can't remember exactly what the situation was. And then up front, we got Solanke, which is a man that Tom, I thought jokingly, brought up as a transfer on his own team. But I do actually, as I said earlier, so I think he's a decent player. Played well in the Championship last season, got a lot of goals. He's going to be confident after goal and assist against Forest, and we're not sure how Brighton are going to perform. So I think if anyone scores in that form of team, Solanke is a decent bet of the one to get the goal. So that rounds up our draft 11 for the week.
Moving on. You've hit the wild card, Chris.
Yes.
Why?
So look, my situation is pretty dire. I mean, I'm at 5.2 million in the world, and I can't just follow the crowd, otherwise I'm not gonna make big jumps forward. Now, that was why I was originally planning on wildcarding in game week 8 when most were looking at game week 9, because it would allow me to hop on triple Newcastle before Bournemouth at home. It would allow me to get on Mitrovic away at Forest and someone like a Rashford at home to lead. So five pretty differential players. Right, and it might have allowed me to get a couple Spurs players for a one-off game at Leicester, for the Leicester home game, which I think is definitely captaincy material for Spurs assets there. Now, I looked at my team and I thought, what about this week? Now, part of the reason why I think I've been why I've decided to wildcard this week is because of the Liverpool performance in Napoli. I mean, it was really concerning to see the state of the defence in the midfield. No fluidity defensively, players out of position, not tracking their man, all this kind of thing. It looks dire. And I really think Wolves are going to score. I had Neto in my team from game week one to game week six. I was very tempted to play him if I didn't wild card away at Liverpool. And like, you shouldn't really be having to even think about that. So I don't think there's a clean sheet in it for Liverpool. I think minutes could be managed for Trent and Robbo. I'm really concerned for them. I've also, as you can probably tell, I prefer Saka as the main Arsenal man at the moment, and I prefer him over Jesus up front. It also allows me to switch formation to three up front: Mitrovic, Isak, and currently Haaland, but it might be Kane for a 2 week differential before moving to Haaland. That's an important factor in the decision, which I could have waited a week on, but I just feel like now there's a few 50-50s in players that I brought in. I'll read out my team in a minute. There's a few 50-50s that hopefully can go my way. Even if they go my way overall by 5 or 10 points, then it's worth it because my team this week will be very similar to the one I would have built for next week anyway. Well, I think at least I'll read out my team now. I think the main goalkeeper, Nick Pope, very good fixtures up until the World Cup. And I saw a stat on Twitter the other day that Newcastle are conceding a lot of shots from outside the box, which means Pope is lapping up save points. Certainly did that against Palace. And then Trippier at the back, he's got great assist potential. Now, Tom, you didn't, I don't think you said the stat that you told me at Spurs, but Trippier created 5 or 6 chances in the Palace game. Is that right?
It was something like four, I think it was four big chances or something. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So
Created.
that
Yeah, something like that.
clearly shows his attacking threat. I've got Cancelo because he went to right back in the week against Sevilla and he looked very promising. Quite a few shots, got 2 assists. And if he plays right back at all in the Premier League and that kind of performance is replicated, then we can see huge returns there. And then James, because I think Chelsea's fixture on his decent defensively, as mentioned, up until the World Cup. And if he plays at wing back, I think with his quality, he's going to be picking up plenty of returns. I'm not exactly sure how Chelsea will perform under Potter in the first few weeks, whether there'll be much of a manager bounce or not, but I think it's hard not to go without him. And then in the midfield, I've got Martinelli and Saka. I think they're two options that I am considering keeping through a run of Spurs, Liverpool, Leeds, City, because I just think they offer that great value if their form persists. De Bruyne, who's currently my captain for this game week in the middle, I think he's probably the best premium midfielder at the moment, in my opinion. And I've gone with Rashford as well, currently. Plays Palace away, I don't expect too much there. The Leeds at home game looks great. City, Everton, Newcastle, I think he picks up a few points there in that run. Andreas on the bench, he will feature a little bit over the next few weeks up until the World Cup because Fulham have got a very good fixture. I'm part of the reason why I'm bringing in Mitrovic, even though he performed great in difficult fixtures like Arsenal and Spurs. Chelsea at home, Forest, Newcastle, West Ham, Bournemouth, Villa, Leeds, Everton, City, and United before the World Cup comes around. It's a great run. And I think in some of those fixtures, I'll be playing both Mitrovic and Pereira. And then, as mentioned earlier, Haaland and Isak partnering Mitrovic up front. Haaland could switch to Kane for a 2 week punt. And Isak, I really like the look of him. I like the look of Newcastle a lot. I think they're going to score quite a few goals in their fixture run up until the World Cup. And I was really strongly considering Wilson. Had a wild card next week and Wilson played this week, Wilson would have been in the team. But I think there's a chance Isak maybe goes a little bit wide, but he's full of quality, this guy. Had a goal ruled out narrowly for offside against Liverpool. I think he's great. And to be able to top on him, Mitrovic, the Newcastle boys, Saka especially, and Rashford, I'm pleased to do that. And I think their fixtures are much better next week. But there's a lot of 50-50 calls, and I wasn't overly impressed by the Liverpool defence and some of the players in my pre-wildcard team, I just wasn't convinced on them. Gross and Neto as well. So I think even if I gain a few points this week, I'm setting myself up for a nice run of good performances from my team up until the World Cup, Tom.
Yeah, it's quite a template team, I'd say. I think, look, a lot of people are going to be moving off Arsenal, so I'm guessing you'll bring them in for a 1 week punt, or, I mean, their fixtures aren't very good after Everton.
Well, as I was explaining, Tom, I'm looking at having Mate and Saka even through a tough fixture run of Spurs, Liverpool, Leeds,
Yeah.
and City. Now, on the bench as well, and I think this is interesting to mention now, I expect Fofana to play in the three at the back. However, with the fixtures, triple up on Chelsea could be a good idea. And Fofana is probably going to be limited to just clean sheet points, I would imagine. Didn't get many goals at all at Leicester. Therefore, I think it is a risk having him. He's currently in my team, but if Chelsea hit some form, then the wing backs and an attacker are going to offer much better value than Fofana. So I'm considering taking him out my team because there is that potential that Chelsea do really well, and Fofana is just not going to be as good value for money as the others. Gone with Sessegnon as well. He's not going to play most games, but I think on a wild card, he's a really nice player because if you're confident he plays in any game, then I'm just so convinced by the performance I saw against Fulham. If he plays even three or four games before the World Cup, and I play him in all of them, I can expect a double-digit return in at least one of them. And look, when you've got four or five, when you've got five defenders and a few of them are cheaper, you're going to be rotating them. I'm happy to leave Sessegnon on the bench. I've got a full playing bench: Ward, Andreas, Fofana, and Sessegnon currently. So I think he's a really nice bench player to have to be able to bring on when he's playing, because he's got such great potential for points at 4.5 million. I'm not afraid to bench him. So I really like the look of having him on a long-term wild card. But that is my team. And the reason why I've done game week seven before game week eight and game week nine is partly because of my position in the world. I need to be aggressive now to move up the rankings. But I think if you're doing well to start the season and you're fairly comfortable with your team, a couple transfers, maybe get out Robertson for the next two, and then wildcard in game week nine, I'd say, is probably preferable because you've got the time. You get to assess Chelsea for a week. You get to see if there's any injuries, things like that, in the international break. I would probably do that if I was sitting in the top 1.5 mil right now. And that's probably what we'll do in our own team, where we're currently sitting at 1.8 mil. So I think you get the information, you get the time to monitor, especially Chelsea, for a game week nine wild card. But if you want to be aggressive and hop on Newcastle, Mitrovic, maybe Rashford for game week eight, then a game week eight wild card is certainly viable, in my opinion. Tom, what's your plans?
Well, I think firstly, you're wild carding into quite a template team, or it will be a template team by next week. So it's interesting. Not much ground can be made with a very template team. I like Sessegnon though. I think Sessegnon will play more minutes than Perisic in the Premier League up to the World Cup, because I think Perisic will be used for the Champions League more. So yeah, I rate the Sessegnon pick. Yeah, I mean, it's a solid defence. It's very template again. They're like your starting defence, but you know, they're going to get you points. There's a reason it's a template defence. I'm not convinced in the midfield, I can't lie. But I've rate the attack. So yeah, then we have to see. But I think you would have basically, I think you would have, apart from, well, you seem to be convinced of Martinelli and Saka, but I think if you'd waited next week, you probably would have wild card with exactly the same team. You're just basically going a week earlier, so hopefully it pays off. But yeah, it's interesting. I think, yeah, could have done it next week, could have done it this week. We'll have to see if it works, pays off. Yeah, it's interesting. I've been set on a game week nine wild card basically since the start. Now, I have quite a few problems in my team. Brentford dub no sorry Brighton defense double up, obviously with them losing Potter and then them not playing next week. Still got Salah and Trent, which in my eyes is a bit of a problem. Got Gundogan as well, which is a bit of a problem. And I think Jesus as well, as you said, he's I wouldn't say he's a problem this week. I'm happy to have him this week, but after this week, I think he's a bit of a problem. And I've got Kulusevski as well, who should be a 100% start, but looks like he won't be. So my team's quite full of problems. Now I'm planning on still holding off till game week 9, just because of some of the fixture swings. For example, teams like Leicester, Chelsea, after obviously get them in after the Liverpool game. I'll have more knowledge on who's going to play left wing back as well. So I probably have both of them. You can get on, what's his name? Wait, let me just check the fixture. Oh yeah, Zaha as well. I want him in my team, and he's not playing in game week 8. So yeah, there's the way the fixtures swing for me. I think game week 9 with the team I'm looking at building is perfect for me. But you know, if I get one or two injuries, or you know, something goes wrong, or I'm convinced someone's not going to start, I could pull it next week just because of the Bryan boys. But yeah, I think with the way I'm looking to set up the wild card, quite differential. Game week 9 works for me with the fixture swings. I don't really want to change that.
No, that's totally fair enough. I rate that. I think one thing that's certainly important is the Chelsea front. There's so much unknown right now, and if you're going to wildcard this week or next week, then I just think about Fofana, because I can just see in a few weeks' time that James is flying, Chilwell is flying, Aubameyang or Sterling or Mount is flying. And you want to get all three of those for a long-term good run of fixtures. You can't do that if you've got Fofana getting 6 points, 2 points, 6 points, 2 points. You know, so I'd have that in mind when thinking about having Fofana. But yeah, game week 9 wildcard gives you time to think, and that's very important. So if I was with your team, Tom, a lot of problems there. I'd be strongly considering the game week 8 wildcard, but completely up to you.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the problem with it is the team wouldn't be great for game week 8, with what I'd wild card with, and I'd probably be taking out, you know, like Kulusevski when he's playing Leicester, and like the way the match is going. So it'd be whether I want to bite the bullet and have a either a bad game week 8 and then wild card game week 9, or wild card into a team that's not great for game week 8, but then have it on turn. So I have to see. And I don't think many people will be considering Fofana, to be honest, Chris. I don't rate the pick at all, online.
Well, a 4.4 million Chelsea defender who could be one of the best defenses from now until the World Cup. I don't think that's a bad option at all. It's just whether he stops you from getting three
Well, it
Chelsea
means
players, because
he's not
these
going to
things
get
can
you
happen.
any more point than six. He's not going to get you any more points than 6 points. He holds the, like you said, he blocks the Chelsea trip up, and you don't even know how they're going to play, and you're not, don't know. He might not even, you remember, he's not Potter's player. It was Tuchel that brought him in, so he doesn't necessarily start. You know, Cucurella could be moved to play at centre back, and it could be Thiago Silva, Koulibaly, and Cucurella. So I don't know, we'll have to see. But yeah, I don't know. I think it could come back to bite you when you're looking to get on Chelsea. But we'll see.
All right.
And no
Well,
Nico Williams, Chris, the man you love.
no, because the Forest defences isn't good. It's just not good enough, and I can't rely on attacking returns from a Forest right wing back.
And not looking at Emerson for West Ham with a good run of fixtures.
I rate it, yeah. I do rate the fixtures. There's a bit of uncertainty on minutes. I'm not really sure on the situation. I prefer a more reliable Palace defence. I'm strongly considering getting in Anderson or Gerhi for Fofana, and they've got very good fixtures up until the World Cup, so that'll probably be what I end up doing.
Yep, nice. Captaincy,
Okay.
should we talk about, Chris?
Yeah, captaincy this week. I've mentioned Saka. I think Arsenal boys, they're showing that they could be worth captaining at home. We saw the explosiveness of Jesus at home to Leicester in game week 2. Saka coming into good form. Martinelli's been consistent all season. They're coming up against an Everton defence with no Pickford. I think there could be a few goals in that for Arsenal. So I like the idea of Arsenal as a differential. But other than that, I wouldn't touch Salah this week. I think Wolves will keep the score low. Liverpool won't score more than two goals. And I think if Liverpool do score, Salah's not necessarily going to be as heavily involved as in previous seasons. So. And it comes down to Haaland, KDB, and Kane. For me, I would if you just want to back the numbers, go with Haaland and be safe. I don't know how well he's going to do. I can see his run being ended in this game, but that's only really a feeling. That's not backed up by stats of the eye test. He looks great. His stats are very promising. So I just got a feeling that he might blank this week, Tom. What's your thoughts on captaincy?
Let's just remember before you hype Arsenal up a lot, they have got a play tonight, Chris, in the Europa League. But yeah, they've got a game tonight. So, I mean, just be careful of that. Monitor who plays. But yeah, I think if you're looking at, I'll give a punt, Captain Madison. I'd prefer to Captain Madison over Saka this week. But no, I think the standout captains are, yeah, as you said, Kane, Haaland, or KDB. I'm going with Kane. I think if I had Haaland and KDB, I'd still go with Kane. I can see a big performance from him. It's going to be needed. And yeah, I mean, I haven't really got any better options in my team, but I'm happy to roll with Kane. But yeah, I think I probably would advise just to stick it on Haaland, to be honest. More down to just playing it safe if you've got Haaland. But it's probably a week you can go differential, if you fancy a Reece James, Captain Reece James. But nah, I think Haaland will be the most captained, and it's probably the most sensible pick. But will he necessarily get the most points out of the premiums? No, but I wouldn't write him off. I wouldn't write him off. I'm not sure how do you think De Bruyne's points are gonna come. I still want you to talk me through it because I can't really picture it.
Yes, yeah, it's difficult. If you've got De Bruyne and he's 25% owned, then a lot of his assists go to Haaland, and a lot of De Bruyne's chances come from Haaland playing into him. So
Yeah.
difficult for me. I wonder whether I'm just sticking with KDB in hope that he's going to outscore Haaland because of my situation. But I think KDB at home, he's proven season after season that in big games he turns up. Did against Chelsea last year in the 1-0 win. He likes a big important goal in these home games. And I can see that kind of thing happening. I really feel like the goal is coming for him as well. He's got a good feeling about the man. And if it's a high scoring game, Haaland's going to score. But I think back to that Bournemouth game where Haaland only got the assist and KDB got a goal and assist. It's a risk. I think Haaland's a much safer pick for ownership, and he's probably slightly more likely to get more points than De Bruyne, but I just really rate him at the moment, and I think there's a chance that he outscores Haaland, a fairly
Also,
reasonable chance. So.
sorry, I have a question for you, Chris, which is very interesting. So you're going with KDB and Haaland, so no Kane, and I know if you do go Kane, you'll get Haaland back in game week 9. I think that very limits your captaincy because I think, look, if you look at the captaincy, okay, obviously this week, go for either one, it's right. Game week 8, Kane's the best captain option. Game week 9, Kane versus Arsenal or Haaland or KDB versus United. I think, we know what Kane does at Arsenal. I think Kane again's the better pick there. And then he's got Brighton away when City have Southampton at home. So, okay, so Haaland's the better pick there. But I don't know. I can't believe, considering you sold Haaland for Kane 2 weeks ago and Kane hasn't, it's not like he's blank. He's been playing well. He's scoring goals. I just can't believe you're gonna go about Kane.
No, I'm yet to decide on the Haaland Kane decision. I think if I went Kane, it gives me time to see if Brighton are looking really bad. Because if they are, then he looks good for that game. But I think Haaland's a better pick at home to United
I mean,
versus.
KDB though, KDB over Kane. Not Hart, you've got to have Haaland in your world.
Oh, right. Well, I think there's much better options up front right now. And I want to have 2 7-ish mil mid strikers because there's a lot of options up front and I rate them more than the midfielders.
Interesting. Going about arguably the second best team in the league at the moment. Any of their attacking options, I wonder if that'll come to bite you. But no, it'll be interesting. But I think it'd be a very interesting decision to wild card without Haaland. But obviously, I'm guessing you'd leave the funds to be able to get to him, Chris. Because obviously, there's nearly 0.6 in it now from Kane to Haaland.
0.6 in it, yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be a very big call to wild card without him.
It would be, yeah. It's a big risk, but I think captaincy in game week 8 has to be a Spurs player home to Leicester, unless things miraculously turn around for Leicester. So I think Kane will be my captain in game week 8, and
You
then
better get
it's
him for your team then.
well, yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah, but I do see that's the one thing for me when I wildcard with Kane. I love, like, I've all this is the first time this season I've started with two attackers. Like, I've always loved attackers more than midfielders. And it is a shame, you know, having Kane and Haaland because you can only have one of Mitrovic, Wilson, Tony, Isaac. So, yeah, that is what does limit it. So I can see it from that point. So it is a shame in that way. But I think you can't wildcard without Haaland and Kane's on great form. It'd be a big risk without Kane as well. But you see something about KDB and he's going to score. So he's going to get it. It's KDB, the best, arguably he's the best midfielder in the league, arguably in the world. So I can see why.
Yeah, it's very difficult decisions. These premiums can really change your game week. They can change your month. They can change your season, as has been shown by me playing around with premiums and getting it wrong. Maybe getting unfortunate, but I got it wrong. And the outcome was not in my favor, and I've lost huge amounts of points as a result of it. So it's a risky game playing around with premiums, but I think there is a lot of points to gain by doing it. But yeah, very tough decision between KDB, Kane, Haaland, and Salah for most, but Salah's been out of my team for a few weeks now. I really don't rate him as much this season.
Yeah, I think just one more thing, and then we'll move on to the prediction game from there, and then the Bob. But I think you've been playing around with premiums. I do think it would just be sensible to stick Kane and Haaland in them in there, and then leave it till the World Cup until unless one of them gets injured, because they got the fixtures. They're both good captaincy options each week. One of them are, and it doesn't matter who they play. Top City are playing Tottenham, and Tottenham are playing City, and those two are the best captaincy options. It just shows how good they are, the assets. But yes, it's on you, but playing around with them clearly isn't working for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, let's move on to prediction games then, Tom. First game of the game week is Fulham versus Chelsea at 12:30 on Saturday, which means that it is an 11 o'clock deadline on Saturday morning. Tom, predictions for this game, please.
This is tough, you know. I was set on a Fulham win before Tuchel got sacked. I'm going to go 2-1 Chelsea now. A whole change. I was going to go 2-1 Fulham, but it's 2-1 Chelsea.
Yeah, I think both teams scored 2-2 for me. Next game, Bournemouth versus Brighton. I've gone with 1-1. I think both teams get a goal, but quite a game with a lack of chances, I reckon, in this one.
2-1 Bournemouth, Solanke brace. Come on, the boy.
Okay, fair enough. Leicester versus Villa. Now I'm backing Villa to win 2-1 in this game.
Leicester 2-1. Castagne
Interesting.
goal.
Now, Liverpool play against Wolves at 3 o'clock this weekend, Tom. Thoughts?
2-0 Liverpool.
It's not going to be that easy, I think. 1-1.
Oh, Diego Costa's in for the game as well, I think, for Wolves. Let me change that to 2-1 Liverpool. He's going to punish Van Dijk and Gomez. As I said to you many times, Gomez is, he had one of the, from what I've seen from highlights, he had one of the worst halves ever in the Champions League. He's not up to it this season. He's not good enough to be playing for Liverpool.
This season, it was very poor against Napoli. I think I feel more comfortable with Matip at the back, to be fair.
Yeah, it's every time he plays, it's like David Sanchez. You're always concerned. He's just not up to it. He's not good enough. Sorry, Gomez.
Southampton versus Brentford.
2-2. That's my new city. Next time we pod, I'll be in Southampton. Shame, I would have loved to go to this game. I'm a bit disappointed I'm not down this weekend. I would have definitely been there for this game.
Well, while we're on prediction game, Tom, would you like to explain the situation for podding next week and beyond?
Situation. Well, Chris has gone away on holiday again. Yeah, I think it's his third holiday since we started podding again. There's probably about a 50-50 chance whether there'll be a pod. I'm moving in on the Thursday, and that's when obviously we'd normally pod. So if I have time, I mean, I just don't think I will, but if I do have time, I'll get a guest on, but it'll be very last minute. But if not, we'll be back during the international break of the pod. And then we'll just it'll be back like normal, I'd hope.
And Tom's moving off to uni. That's where he's going. I'm moving off to uni a few weeks afterwards as well. But we will continue the podcast from very different places in the UK.
Yeah, and you never know, in the next year or two, we could get some very special guests on if things go to plan.
Exactly,
What I'm
exactly.
hoping.
That's the plan. That's the hope.
Yeah.
Next game is City versus Spurs.
2-2.
I've gone with 2-1 C.
I'm
Tight game.
just
I
kidding.
really don't know what to call.
3-2 Spurs. You think I'm not going to back Spurs? Come on.
3-2 it is. All right. Arsenal versus Everton.
1-0 Everton. No, I'm joking. With that Pickford news, 3-0 Arsenal.
I've gone with 3-0 as well. I think depending on the lineup in the Europa League game, it could be a slightly flatter performance from Arsenal on the weekend, but I'm going to back them to win 3-0 as well. West Ham versus Newcastle.
Just quickly on that, look, have you seen the team Arsenal playing? Never even heard of them. Surely they put there. No, I can't see it. You wouldn't think anyway, Chris, that any of their first 11 play.
You think so?
It'd be a bit concerning if Arteta didn't sub his back his subs to play against whoever they're some team from wherever. No one's ever heard of them.
Yeah, they're playing Zurich, who aren't normally in the Europa League anyway. So that's that.
Neither
West
are
Ham versus
Arsenal.
Newcastle, Tom.
Arsenal must be buzzing to be back in in Europe. Cool. Well, that's a bit of an incorrect statement. I apologise. West Ham, Newcastle. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go rogue, Chris. I'm going to go 1-1.
That's really rogue, Tom.
No, it is. It is.
That's the most standard result that I could
No,
think of. 2-1
it's not.
Newcastle for me.
Not Newcastle, like one of the probably the top seven teams in the league.
Yeah, and West Ham are on form. Well, they're turning their form around and they're at home.
I don't want to hear it. You're back in the more like you're back in the safer option back in Newcastle
All
too.
right, Palace versus United.
I'm gonna go rogue again, 1-1.
0-0 for me.
No way, there's no way you've gone 0-0. I don't are you being serious?
0-0, yeah.
And you're bringing Rashford in. There's no way this is ending 0-0.
And Leeds versus Forest.
I am gonna go rogue on this. 4-2 Leeds.
Fair enough. Big Monday night fireworks. 2-0 Leeds for me. And that rounds up the prediction game. Tom, you're ahead. It was a poor week last week. 3 points for you, 3 points for me, 4 points for Robbie. You're currently leading the way by 8 points.
Course, that's the way I like to keep it. Yeah, no, it's we do need to up our predictions because I can't lie, we always lose to when we have a guest.
Yeah, it's standard, really, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, Chris, it's been another enjoyable pod. Thank you for listening, guys. And as we said, one thing we will do, Chris, you will post your wild card team on Instagram, that is for sure. Even if you have to send it to me and I send it, obviously for the listeners might not know, but you won't have much Wi-Fi where you are, hence why you can't do the pod. But yeah, Chris's team will be post wild card team will be locked in and posted on Saturday morning. So will our team. As we haven't might decided on what we're doing. But Chris, I'm looking forward to the next episode when I'll be down in Southampton and you'll either be in Woking or Loughborough. But yeah, I've enjoyed today because I think we've had a good discussion, wouldn't you say?
Oh, very detailed discussion about Game Week 6 results and wildcard strategy moving forward. Hope you guys have all enjoyed. Make sure to check out FPL Apprentices this weekend to see my team and the joint team. And good luck for the game week.
Yeah, and that is FPL Apprentice on Instagram. And one bit of advice I'd give everyone, make sure to watch Fulham Chelsea this weekend at 12:30. Because I think it'll be very interesting to see how Chelsea line up, and especially with everyone on the wild card. I think, highlights don't do the game justice, so try and tune in for that game. But yeah, good luck everyone. Deadline at 11 o'clock. Thanks guys. See you next time.
See you. to you soon, guys.